Welcome back to Ashburton. We're about ready to start now.
It's political commentary.
Morena, David. How are you?
I'm very well, and I've got three for you.
You've got three. Okay, he's got his top 95.
This is on the basis of...
Are you really going to give away your votes right now?
Well, these are my first votes. I'm going to vote early, vote often. I was thinking, given it's 50 years, what are the things, some of the things that B introduced me to that I didn't know mm-hmm. about that just changed my perspective altogether? One is Beck, Where It's At.
Nice.
One is Robert Earl Keane.
Robert Earl Keane.
Yeah, The Road Goes On Forever.
Oh, fantastic.
Because Border Radio is where I started with the station, really. I just love that shit. It's just the best.
It's such
best
a great show. Yeah.
And also Lucinda Williams, Crescent City. That's where I first heard that song, you know, about like 30 years ago.
That is a wonderful top three David. So there you go, listeners. You can pick from anything that BFM means to you. But I like that, going for something that BFM's brought you.
Yeah, expanded it. Because that's what this bloody thing does. I love it.
Exactly. Hey, we've got a lot of hefty topics this morning for political commentary. We're going to talk about the Labour Party allegations, sexual assault allegations. We're also going to talk about Simon Bridges' bizarre communist video thing that happened. We're also going to talk a bit about Brexit. Let's start by talking about the Labour Party stuff, because this is huge and pretty awful, basically. We've seen a lot in the last 24 hours. Paula Bennett has just come out and basically named people within the Labour Minister's offices that knew about this. And she's used her parliamentary privileges to do that. Can we start by talking about what is a parliamentary privilege? Because that's sort of a bit of a flex in a way to be able to use that.
What it means is that you can go into the House and say anything at all without fear of people taking legal action against you.
What? You didn't know that was a thing.
Yep. Mm.
And so you can say literally anything.
Yeah, Winston Peters used to do it. So the idea being that powerful forces might otherwise stop you from speaking out. Mm. And this is actually what happens in the business press all the time. Mm-hmm. You know, you've got a fairly good idea that somebody's pulling a fast one, but if you put it in the print, they just set Russell McVeigh on you and you're gone. So it's the idea that you can speak up in Parliament, and this is what she's doing, knowing that nobody has come back on her, mm-hmm. and it may well be the case also. Who knows? Because, and that really is the crucial point to consider here. Again and again, these things tend to happen because politicians mm-hmm. and their staff tend to go for arse covering when above all else. And people suffer because somebody's just wanting to cover their own back.
Yeah.
And that's presumably what has been going on principally here, you know. Let's hope that we can get this sorted out, whatever it is, they say to themselves, but let's not have anybody getting hurt here who matters to us.
And
in other words, you're changing your priorities, and people who have had terrible things done to them don't get justice. That's what's going on.
And it's a tricky one, because this is such a singularly awful situation, but we do see this often within our parliamentary system, also overseas as well. But, you know, how do we kind of deal with this problem? Because it's systematic,
It seems to be anything in a position of power, like Parliament and outside.
But if we're looking specifically at our sort of like government structure, how do we change this? Because it's an ongoing problem. We've seen this like several times in the last couple of years alone.
Yeah, and Parliament it is particularly prone to it, arguably, because so many people who come after power end up in that place. You've got a lot of people flexing their power, and therefore it's all the more difficult. I've worked in that environment, and I am conscious that it's not like other places. But that doesn't mean that the rules shouldn't apply.
Mm-hmm.
And this is what came out of the earlier review that Trevor Mallard commented on at the time, saying, you know, we've got to change the culture here, and we're going to work on it. And I don't know. I think the best hope you've got is that you get persistent exposure, so that over time it becomes impossible for people to look the other way and to cover their back. And yet, the instinct for preserving political power is so strong that you've got a hell of a conflict there, and it's difficult to resolve. So I haven't actually given you an answer. The best I can say is the most exposure you can have, the more exposure you can have, the better the prospect of doing something about it. And so, you know, oddly, it's bizarre to be saying it, but even somebody like Paula Bennett performs a useful role in this case, although it is worth reminding people that she's on tape talking to Jamie Lee Ross, saying that if he goes quietly, they won't expose information about him harassing women. So let's not get too far up on the high horse, Paula Bennett. Thank you very much.
It is a tricky one because it is sort of everywhere within the system.
So
Nigel
and I suppose just I've maybe missed the point a little here. Young men in particular who are ambitious in political power tend to be particularly dangerous, and that is an element that appears to be at play here, and that's something you really have to worry about and do something about.
Absolutely. So Nigel Haworth, who was now the ex Labour Party president as of yesterday afternoon, he's fallen on his sword, basically. There's a lot of people saying this goes all the way up to the Prime Minister, basically. What are your thoughts on that? What sort of level of culpability should somebody like the Prime Minister have for something like this?
There are two arguments running here. One is that she was shielded from it, and so she was unaware. Another is that even if she was shielded from it, how in the hell could you not know this was happening when there was so much talk about a sexual dimension to this in so much of the reportage? I can see the possibility that, you know, given all that she has going on, she may not have been, she may genuinely not have been aware. It beggars belief that she could know that and not do something about it. But I do look back to what happened when Materia Ture took her stand, and she was not really there for her, you know. For all that she's regarded as somewhere near saintly, actually, when it comes to preservation and self-interest, she does demonstrate a capacity to put her interest or her party's interest first. So I just wonder. What we need is more information. We need this QC's report, and then we'll know. We may know more about who knew what and when.
And we need transparency across the board, I think, basically, and not just for this incident, but as we've been saying, for all incidents like this, that's what people are saying.
Yep.
The only way to really change this culture is to make sure that there's nothing hiding in those sort of shadowy areas.
I should throw this in too. Not every accusation is always entirely properly founded, and that is what possibly why Haworth was taking the point of view he was of not simply rushing to justice. Having said that, there's so much evidence that's appeared, especially in the spin-off reportage that appeared at the beginning of this week, that it makes it look as though you had to be more inclined to simply protecting people and covering your back than being mindful of natural justice.
Absolutely. Well, let's talk a bit about Simon Bridges now. So what's been happening? He filmed this video in China. What's this all about, David?
I thought the best description was one of the academics at La Trobe University in Australia saying that he looked like a performing seal performing for fish.
That's very damning.
Essentially, you have him appearing in interviews on state TV in China, where they're choosing the questions and he's delivering the answers he knows they want to hear. And in diplomacy, there's a difference between and one that you go after that's a little bit nice, nuanced, perhaps for how we go about things in the normal world, but it actually matters a lot how much you say or how little. So it's the difference between saying, "That's a very fashionable scarf you're wearing, madam," and "OMG, girlfriend, you're totally crushing it."
Yeah.
And that's more or less what he was doing. You know, they were saying, "Right. What do you make of the Chinese Communist Party?" And he said, "You've just been wildly impressive in what you've achieved over the past 70 years." Now, and I'm paraphrasing there, but essentially, he was enthusing and gushing over what has been achieved there, and possibly past the point of what it actually means for the standard of living for ordinary Chinese people as opposed to the ones who were corrupt. But anyway, the look of all of this is of a party that gets excited about two things. One is doing business in China,
mm-hmm.
and they
this
do
is the
have
National
a,
Party, yes.
Yes,
yeah.
And I mean personally, they get involved in doing business in China, mm-hmm. and secondly, donors. They mm-hmm. love donors to their campaign, mm-hmm. and I just wonder if they're suspending their critical faculties and their diplomatic obligations because they're somewhat starstruck with this very prosperous nation. The prosperity in this nation,
yeah.
Which can work to their advantage. And on top of that, he meets with one of their the top spy...
chiefs, police.
Yeah, yeah.
Chief of police.
Not currently, but previously, yeah. And now about in the top 15 in the party with responsibility for enforcement of law. And as we know, this is a government that does not proceed in the way that we're familiar with, yeah. in terms of democracy, rule of law, and rights of trial. And so, you know, these are not trivial things.
No.
On top of that, they have an MP who spent about 20 years training spies in China before they came here. You know, the gormlessness that attaches to all of this is really quite breathtaking.
So, yeah, I think it's one of those things you're sort of watching it and going, what? Is this actually happening right now?
Yeah.
Well, let's talk a little bit before we run out of time about Brexit because, you know, just such a quick, easy topic to chuck in at the end there. I'm finding it really hard to keep up with all of the changes that are going
on.
I don't
think
you can. Yeah.
Here's a recommendation. If you really want to have a really good understanding of what's going on day by day, there's a podcast from the BBC called Brexit Cast, and it's bloody mighty. It has Laura Kunzberg, who's their chief political editor. I forget the exact title. She's marvellous. And three others. Two of them are based in London, two are in Brussels. So they just know the whole drill, and they're really engaging, and it gives you a really, really good understanding day by day when this stuff happens.
That's great.
There is a possibility here that between Johnson and his evil operative Dominic Cummings, they really don't care about the rule of law and they really are happy to subvert a centuries-old democracy.
So he's suspended Parliament at the moment, is that right?
Prorogued Parliament a bit longer than usual. Ostensibly, you know, the respectable reason is because this is the conference season, so you need a couple of weeks off for the both of the parties. But he made it longer, and the whole idea is that it just leaves less room for Parliament to get in the way of him getting a crash-out deal at the end of October. But, as we know, he got several defeats in Parliament that have the effect of obliging him to not just crash out.
Mm-hmm.
There is still a suggestion that he's going to try to end run that, but the very last thing they got passed in Parliament was an obligation to produce all of the documents relating to crashing out and what that would have, what effect that would have on daily life,
right.
and that's supposed to be published today. And once that fills the media, whether Parliament's in session or not, that gives you plenty to be arguing about.
Yes.
That's pretty good. There is a simple solution, if I might say.
What is your simple solution, David?
in my humble opinion, you revoke the Article 50 What am I trying to say? They invoked Article 50 saying, yep. we're leaving. You just revoke that. You say, okay, no, we're not doing that. And the EU have said that they would be happy with that, which means everything just goes on as it was.
Mm.
You then, you know, in order to meet everybody's expectations, say, we will now negotiate terms for leaving, and once those are resolved, then we'll go to the country and say, vote, here's how it would happen if we left, now let's vote on this.
Yeah.
Which would be a little bit like what we're doing with the referendum. We're actually putting up actual legislation. This is what the framework would be, now you get to vote on that. As opposed to what they did in the referendum in UK, which was Brexit, although nobody knows what Brexit will be.
Exactly.
So do that, and if, in fact, this is what the people
the public
want,
wants, yeah.
then you will have unanimity. And also, make it bloody a majority of 75%, not a bare majority of 50%,
yeah.
because it's too significant for that. So that's what you should do. Whether they'll do it or not, I think is extremely remote and probably unlikely, but let's hope.
Let's hope.
Someone told me that Boris Johnson's own brother resigned from Parliament throughout this.
He did.
Quite telling in itself.
Which produced the legendary observation that that's the one rare occasion where somebody leaves politics to spend less time with their family.
Aye, aye, aye. It is a mess. Well, thank you so much, David.
My
I think
pleasure,
that's a very
Rachel.
Sensible suggestion for how we can fix that problem. We'll speak to you in a couple of weeks' time.
Will do.
Cheers for coming up. And for giving us your top 95 picks, too. Very
I'll
good.
Have more in 2 weeks.
Good stuff.
You just heard a bit of political commentary.